الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على رسوله الكريم وآله وصحبه ومن اتبعه إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله، we're here today and we are back into the surah of Surah to Yusuf. الحمد لله رب العالمين. And it's a beautiful surah. And alhamdulillah rabbil alamin, I hope that we can benefit from it. I hope to remind me, after we go through the story, I hope to go and point out at least 100 benefits. This is my what I'm professing to you. I'm going to point out 100 benefits, inshallah ta'ala, on this surah, one after the other, inshallah ta'ala. And when I do, I want you to write them down so that you can memorize them or just record it. I don't know, however you can memorize it, because I have to go from the beginning of this surah back again. So we're going to finish the surah and then go through it and piece by piece, just drop it down, inshallah ta'ala. If I'm afraid to remember some, I might mention it in here, and I'll mention it's one of them. So let's start. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ثم بدا لهم من بعد ما رأوا الآيات ليسجننه حتى حين. So then the men, after the wuzara, the governors and the senators and all the important government men got together, and these were the husbands of the 41 women who cut their hands. They were having the meeting and they started to talk to each other, saying, you know, what happened to their wives? And they said, you know what? This guy is free. He's innocent. He hasn't done anything, but we can't have him going around like that. We can't get the word out. All our wives cut their hands when this guy, this slave, is going around. We shouldn't kill him because he didn't do anything wrong, but let's lock him up for a period of time until all this blows over. And so that's where he comes and says, you know, لَيَسْجُنَنَّهُ حَتَّى حِينٍ. So let's imprison him for a period of time, so this whole thing quiets down. Then they forgot about him. Then they forgot about him. وَدَخَلَ مَعَهُ السِّجْنَ فَتَيَانِ. And then he enters into the prison, and when he's going into the prison, two young men are going into the prison with him. So now again, I want to mention one of the benefits, right? This is one of the benefits. Why did he go to prison? One of the reasons that is recorded the benefits of him going to prison is he just spent 10 years. Okay, remember, he spent 10 years of his childhood with his father, the prophet Yaqub, Israel, living in the Bedou, in the desert, learning how to be a shepherd and everything like that. And then after 10, he spent the next 10 years learning how to be an aristocrat, the child of the government, right? He's a government child, an aristocrat. He's learning how to be a governor's son and all those types of things. And now he's going to spend time in prison learning what the regular people go through. Okay? Prison, they call it the university sometimes. Why? Because people come from all over the country in this one prison, and they tell each other the stories, what they learn, and people learn a lot. They learn a lot of interaction, learn how to do things. They learn a lot about life. And Allah says, Nu'allimuhu min ta'wilil ahadith. He was going to teach him. So some things came to him through wahyi, through revelation. And other things came through him through the lessons of life and being taught, as Allah says, is teaching him. So he's in here now, and now he's going to spend time, you know. Some ulama say 10 years. Some say almost 10 years, but not quite 10 years of time he's going to spend in prison learning and getting to know all these people from all over the place and learning about their lifestyles and learning about the culture of the people of Egypt. Now, there's a background story. And so when he's entering to the prison, two young men are coming into the prison with him. They got locked up. What was the story? The king has a taster. You know, he has someone who's going to taste his food before he eats it. And the taster died. Okay? The taster ate the food, drank the wine, and he died. They said someone poisoned him. So the two young men, one of the young men, he's the one that makes the bread, tends to the food. The other young man is the one that makes the wine and tends to the drink. They don't know which one of them is guilty of poisoning the food, but it had to be one of them because they are responsible for it. And so these the two young men that are entering into the prison along with Yusuf. Hold on, I'm getting distracted by this person. Stuff for one of them said, I see myself. One of them said, I see myself, squeezing the grapes, doing my job. And another one said, And he said, I see myself carrying over my head, above my head, bread, but the birds are eating from it. Nabitna bitawilihi inna naraka minal muhsinina. Look at this. There's another a benefit here. How is it that these two young men can see this guy? He's a slave coming in there. They got prison clothes on, but they can tell that he's one of the muhsinin. So it's not the clothing. It's the carriage. It's how his comportment. How is he carrying himself? How is he walking in there? He's not walking in there like a gangster. He's not walking in there like a criminal. He's walking in there like amongst them, like he is a muhsin, a person who has deen, and they can tell, they can see that on him. So they say, Inna naraka minal muhsinin. He hasn't spoken to them. This is from their mujarrid look. So this is telling us that iman can be seen. The aura that a person brings to the scene is palpable. And this is shown in this particular part, and it's going to be seen over again. Okay? So they say, Inna naraka minal muhsinina. So he says, look. قَالَ لَا يَأْتِيكُمَا طَعَامٌ تُرْزَقَانِيهِ إِلَّا نَبَّأْتُكُمَا بِتَاوِيلِهِ قَبْلَ أَنْ يَأْتِيَكُمَا. He says, now look, I'm going to tell you, the dinner won't come, the food that that's going to come to you, that you're going to give to me. Now he's making a deal with me. You're going to pay me, okay? You're going to have to pay me for me to give this to you. Why is he doing that? Circumstances. And so we learn another benefit right here. Somebody keep count, okay? We learn a benefit. Now, what's the benefit? The benefit is that he is a prophet, yet he's charging them for the information he's giving them. Why? Because he wants to do something with that. He's in a situation where there are people who need food. And he's providing food for the people in prison. Some people are not getting enough. Some people are sick. So we say, hey, look, you give me your food, and I'll tell you the reason what happened, the meaning of that dream. So this shows you, under the circumstances, if you have knowledge, you can charge for that knowledge. You can charge, as Yusuf did, based on what your circumstances are. And if you need that to help others or to go with whatever program you're doing, his program was feeding the people inside the prison who were not strong. So they gave him the food. Okay? They gave him the food. And he said to them, Dhalikuma mimma 'allamani rabbi. He said, when he starts telling them, now he's giving them da'wah. This is Dalikuma. Remember, I told you guys about Dalikum before, and Dalika, and Dalikunna. The last part of it is just like Assalamu Alaikum, right? So we say Dalika, wa Dalikum, wa Dalikunna, wa Dalikuma, right? So that is what he's talking to you too. So this is mimma allamani rabbi. This is from what my Lord has taught me. Allamani has given me knowledge of. Inni taraktu millata. He says, look, inni taraktu, I've left the religion, millah. And here's another point. There's a difference between deen and millah. Allah says, Millatu Ibrahim. And he says, Deenul Islam. Millatu Ibrahim Hanifa. So our religion, another point, fa'ida, is our religion is the religion of Ibrahim. Our millah, I'm sorry, our deen is Deenul Islam. There is a difference. What's the difference? Our religious rites are eight. Okay, there are just eight things that we do in our religion. And then there are 38 things that are part of our deen. Okay? So what are the eight things? Aqidah, tahara, preceding, salah, a janazas, for all when the rich pay zakah, siyam, i'tikaf, if you spend in the night, and a hajj for whoever can pay for the flight. Okay? So you count it. Aqidah, tahara, preceding, salah, a janazah for all when the rich pays a cat. Siyam i'tikaf, you spend the night, and a hajj for whoever can pay for the flight. Those are the eight issues of our millah. Okay? All the other 30 issues in that are part of our deen, how we sleep, how we eat, how we marry, how we dress, how we name, how we shave our head and don't shave our beards. You get my point? All those other things are part of our deen. So he says, Inni taraktu millata qaumin. I've left the religion of the people, la yu'minuna billahi, who don't believe in Allah, wa hum bil akhirati hum kafirun. And with regard to the hereafter, they are kafirun. Another fa'idah. What's the fa'idah? The fa'idah here, the benefit here, is that he named belief in Allah and then the last day. Why? Okay, cool me, Vince. Why did he say that? Belief in Allah and the last day. Because he's talking about the six pillars of Iman. The first one is belief in Allah, his angels, his books, his prophets, the qadr of Allah, hulwuhu wa murruhu, and then the last day. So this is from A to Z. Hey, Antum, Lush, Fadl, Ithu, Wukruju, Awlan. So he's mentioning the first and the last. It's like saying from head to toe with regards to Iman. And it encompasses everything in between. Okay? So it's enough for him to say the first and the last to encompass everything. La yu'minuna billah wal bil yawm wal hum bil akhirati hum kafirun. Okay? Alhamdulillah. And they don't believe in the hereafter. So there is two. وَاتَّبَعْتُ مِلَّةَ آبَائِيَ إِبْرَاهِيمَ. Again, and I followed the millah, the religion of Ibrahim. وَإِسْحَاقَ وَيَعْقُوبَ. مَا كَانَ لَنَا أَن نُشْرِكَ بِاللَّهِ مِنْ شَيْءٍ. It's not for us to do that. مَا كَانَ لَنَا أَن نُشْرِكَ بِاللَّهِ مِنْ شَيْءٍ. Not one thing, not one bit. لا. So it's not befitting for us. Ma kana lana. It's not from us. It's not befitting for us that we would make shirk with regards to Allah in any shape, form, or fashion. Dhalika min fadlillahi alayna wa ala nas. This is the fadl, the status that Allah has given us and all people. Walakin akthar an-nasi la yashkurun. He says, however, most people don't appreciate this. Meaning, this is not specific for us. Okay? But it is something that most people do not appreciate. And this is what he's talking about. Okay? It's not just for me, but it's for all of us. And that is another one of the benefits. Okay? ذَلِكَ مِنْ فَضْلِ اللَّهِ عَلَيْنَا. You're talking about a prophet. Ibrahim, the noble one of the noble son of the noble son of the noble son of the noble son. So he is the son of Yaqub, Ishaq, Ibrahim. Okay? Look what we're talking about. And he's saying this is a fadl, the status Allah has given me and all people. But most people don't appreciate it. Alhamdulillah. So you see, he gives them da'wah before he gives them the answer. Why? Because he knows they have this desire to listen. And so he gives them something to listen to, right away, and they're paying attention, and then he doesn't leave them alone. Now he gives them the answer. Ya sahibay yisijin. Oh, my two companions of the prison. Arbabun mutafarriquna khayrun amillahul wahidul qahhar. He asks a question. Are having multiple lords, multiple people that you have to answer up to, or multiple lords you have to answer up to, mutafarriqun, different, they all got different wants. Is that the best thing? Amillahu, or the one and only, wahidul qahhar, irresistible Allah, the one and only. Okay? Is that better? And so we see how we put in a comparison because people now think in logical terms. What does logical mean? Logical means that the intellect cannot reject it. Okay? Intellect cannot reject this particular idea. Ma ta'buduna min dunihi illa asma'an sammaytumuha antum wa aba'ukum. He says, now he goes on the offensive. He says, what you all are worshiping besides the Allah, the one known Al-Wahidul Qahhar, is nothing but a bunch of names that you guys made up. Okay? You made them up. Antum wa aba'ukum, you and your forefathers before you. Ma anzalallahu biha min sultan. Allah didn't give any of those things any type of supervision, any type of authority. Okay? In al-hukmu illa lillah. The rule, the fact of the matter is, the rule is only for Allah. The authority is on the nizam, hukma, hukuma. You put it in, understand, the way of life, the how life is supposed to be run, is only based on what Allah has said. So when we say, think of the word hukum, think of hukuma. Think of a government, how you're going to govern yourself, how you're going to live your life. This is the hukum for Allah. How you govern yourself, how you live yourself. And this is why we keep saying over and over again, there is no such thing except the Islamic way. Every other way is in opposition. Well, I'm American. No, you're a Muslim or you're a kafir, period. Now, you can only do those things as an American that fall within the hudud, the hukum of Allah. If you make that your basis, the I'm an American, and then whatever Islam I can fit in, then they got it upside down. It's I'm a Muslim, and whatever from the American, when I'm saying that because I'm an American, so I'm saying whatever the American culture I can fit in to my Islam, then I'll do that, not the opposite way around. But what we find, sadly, is that many people are following their culture and they only follow Islamic practices if they coincide with their culture or don't oppose their culture. When they're pitted against each other, they follow their culture and leave Islam. Okay? But in il hukmu lillah, illa lillah, the hukm, the way you're supposed to govern yourself, the way you're supposed to live, is only the way, and only one that has that right is Allah. Amara Allah ta'budu illa iyyah. He has commanded that you don't worship anything except for him as directly. Iyyahu, him and only him. Dhalika deenu. Now you see, now he says deen. Another point here. You see, he says, Millat Aba'iya Ibrahim wa Ishaq wa Yaqub. Then he says, Dhalika deen. Once he says the hukum is illa lillah, and he's ordered that you don't worship anything except for him and him alone. Thalika deenul qayyim. This is the way of life that is straight and will straighten you out. Okay? This is deenul qayyim walakin akthar an-nas la ya'lamun. But most people don't know. First, they don't appreciate the status that Allah has given them. Then they don't appreciate the or understand or know that this is the deen that is upright and will straighten you out. Not only is it straight, but it will straighten you out. Okay? But most people don't know this. Ya sahibe yisijin, oh my companions of the in this prison. Amma ahadukuma, as for one of you, fayasqi rabbahu khamra, he will go back to his job and keep pouring the wine. You're going to get your job back. Okay? Wa amma al-akhar, and as for the other one, fayuslabu fatakulu tayru min ra'si, qudiya al-amru alladhi fihi tastaftiyan. So then he says, as for the other, then you're going to be crucified. Fayuslabu. He says, then he will be. He doesn't say it like that. He says it in a way that he will be. Not who will do it, but he will be crucified. And then the birds will eat from his head, even though he's talking directly to the guy. Okay? Fayuslabu. Fatakulu tayru min ra'si. Qudiyal amr. The situation is, it's been decided, it's over. Alladhi fihi tastaftiyan, that you ask for this fatwa. Istiftiyan, the word here is fatwa, and the an is you too. So this is, it said the situation is over, okay? Meaning that it's been decided already. There's nothing you can do about it. Waqala lilladhi اذكرني عند ربك فنسي فأنساه الشيطان ذكر ربه فلبث في السجن بضع سنين. So then he told the one that he knew, one, he knew that he would be saved, najin, he would be saved from the both of them. Remind, mention me, اذكرني, mention me عند ربك, when, mention me to your Lord when you are back to your position. فَأَنْسَاهُ الشَّيْطَانُ ذِكْرَ رَبِّهِ. So, but Shaitan made him forget to mention him to his Lord. Okay? فَلَبِثَ فِي السِّجْنِ بِضْعَ السِّنِينَ. So he remained in the prison for another, some say بِضْعَ السِّنِينَ is less than 10 years. Okay? But more than seven, or, you know, but almost 10. Some of the ulama say that it was exactly 10 years. Okay? Wallahu a'lam, exactly how much time it exactly was. But we know that this is the next, you know, dawr circle for him. So he was 10 years old when he was with his father. Then another 10 years while he was in being raised in the house of the Aziz. And then almost another 10 years is what do you call it? Or exactly 10 years in prison. And Allah knows best. So now we're talking about 30 years, each one in a 10-year cycle. And we'll stop here. Okay? He remained in the prison for bid'a sinin, odd number of years. What we used to learn in Mauritania, we were taught that it was more than seven, but less than 10. But then afterwards, I heard some of the Mufassirun saying, when I was in Medina, saying, and also in Bahrain, some of the ulama tafsir saying that it was exactly 10 years. Allahu a'lam, see, because he didn't tell us the exact number of years that was in there. So it's not as important, okay? Whenever a detail that is not mentioned, then it's not as important for the story. But we do know he stayed in prison for a period of time, a number of years, okay? Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. I hope that we can benefit from the story. And remember, number them. I will give you 100 benefits from this surah bi'idhni Rabbina ta'ala, inshallah ta'ala. And if there's any questions, then hayakumullah tafaddalu. I'm ready to answer them about what we've spoken about, only about what we've, surah to Yusuf, any part of surah to Yusuf up until this part. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. تفضل. And if you got, okay, from a student yesterday said something I never heard before and would like it very much. If you can share where we can also find the information. So you mentioned that the first seven surah. Okay, so you know the problem with these questions. Okay, so this guy says, okay, where can I find this? You know, I'm gonna tell you the way my teachers used to tell us. When I first became a talib al-ilm, and came to the Saudi, my first experience with the Saudi shiur was Sheikh's name was Abdul Razak, Abdul Afif. No, Astaghfirullah. Abdul Razak. Okay. And he told us, we used to ask, where is that? He say in the Quran. He would never tell us, okay, where. Why? Because you should be reading the Quran. There's nothing I'm telling you that's not in the books of the tafsir. Where can you find it? In the books of tafsir. The question is so, sometimes the question is like blatant that you're not reading. Okay? It's right in the books of tafsir. And it's nothing but you not opening your eyes to read that you don't see it. Nothing I'm reciting here is far and hidden or in some book that is not well known. Okay? In fact, the main tafsir that I'm pulling from is in the Kaaba's library. So, you know, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Think about that, guys. I think the problem is that most of you. Hey, walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Let me see the next question, inshallah ta'ala. The mi'in are tied to the mi'in are tied to the tied to the zubur. Okay. Can you please repeat the point of the number of years and where you heard the differences? In Mauritania, we were told the word bid'ah sinin, it means more than seven, not exactly 10. But when I was in Bahrain, listening to some of the mufassirun there in Qatar as well, they said that it was exactly 10 years. So, and you have to understand in Qatar, you have a lot of Mauritanian scholars, a lot of Shinqiti scholars there as well. So, and that was the difference between that is, you know, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, not really a big, you know, it just shows that there's difference of opinion about exactly what bid'ah sinin means. And I made the point that it's not really important. Whenever we see in the Quran there an explanation that's not specific, that means it's not as important for understanding the point that's being taught right at the moment. Okay. And then I was just mentioning that, you know, you guys have to do your, you have to do better, do your due diligence to read the basic tafsir. And the basic tafsir are this. This is the basic, this is the way you go about studying tafsir. First thing you should do is read a translation along with whatever your native language is. Okay. So let's say my native language is English. Okay. So I would read, I would say to the person whose native language is English, read it in English, I mean Arabic, and then English. They have that in these different masahif. Now they have even different websites that do that. If your native language is Spanish, read it in English and then Spanish. If your native language is Bambara, Pula, whatever your native language is, read it in that along first. Then after that, go to, and then never read it in English again. Okay? Never read it again in English. You've done it, you're done. Now move over to the tafsir of Jalalain. That's the next step, Jalalain. And it explains it in very basic Arabic. Okay. Then I did a little different, but I would say then to go to Saadi's tafsir, most of the time we went to that one, but I don't suggest you do that. I suggest that what you do next is Ibn Kathir. Okay? Go to Ibn Kathir's, and now you read Ibn Kathir's. Adwal Bayan next, because Ibn Kathir focuses on the hadith, whereas Adwal Bayan focuses on the Quran bil Quran. But Ibn Kathir's is much more classical and well known, and it's from the Salaf. We're going to say from that, our Salaf. And then Adwal Bayan is not. It's a more modern, explanation, but it's Quran bil Quran. So you need that. Then go to Qurtubi. Now, Qurtubi, you're going to go through this through different levels. When you go through Qurtubi, you definitely need a teacher to explain it, explain it, explain it, explain it. Sheikh Abdullah Ash-Shanqiti, he's explained it in 800 and something lessons. 800 and something lessons. And I saw someone else who explained it in 400 and something lessons. However, when we first learned it, it was just a basic, I was in Egypt and with Abdulazim Bedawi, and he did it very simple. And it's better to do it that way, a simplified one, so you get the gist, because now Al-Qurtubi is doing the ahkam. Okay? And then, if you're Arab, if this is only if you're going to be mufassir, only if you're going to be a scholar of tafsir, do you need to do that. Otherwise, do it one time in English, Jalalain, Ibn Kathir, you're done. You're good to go, like that. And then there's, you can never stop. It can keep going on forever. Ijma' of tafsir and different things like that. Kalimatun, I did a Kalimatul Quran, where you go every word and explain every single word. It's I'rab, these things like that. But Dirwish, and then there's another one that's similar to that. But that's only if you're going to study the Quran in this particular detail. But you see, we don't get to that first. We do the basic ones, and then you go to the Al-Harari's tafsir, which is, like, to me, the ultimate so far that I found of all the tafsirs, is the tafsir of Al-Harari. Muhammad Al-Amin Al-Harari, Alhamdulillah, rahimahullahu ta'ala, wa rahimuhumullahu jami'an. This is what you go through to start studying tafsir, and you'll find everything that I'm talking about here. And also listen to the different people who are online. They have some great shuyukh who are like Abdullah, his tafsir. You listen to that and stick with it, stick with it, stick with it. And Muyassir al-Quran, stick with that, and you'll learn so many different things from doing that. Khudairi, his Maqasid tafsir of every surah, excellent, breakdown. In fact, in Khudairi's tafsir of Maqasid of Surah Yusuf, he breaks down as well the seven sab'at tiwal, and the different, the mi'in, and the mufassil. Okay, so you can find all these things, and I've written a poem about it as well. You can find it in the book that I wrote on the Ulum al-Quran, 80 Sciences of the Quran, and Tafsir 101. Okay? So it's not hard to find, inshallah ta'ala. Should we learn tafsir alone or with a teacher? Both. Islamic sciences are a double whammy, okay? Meaning that what is expected of you is first to learn your fundamentals. Your fundamentals can only be learned by Ustadh Mutqin, under the mushrif, under the supervision of a senior scholar. Now, today, senior scholars are very, very hard to get their time for. And some of them are senior scholars, and you don't know that they're senior scholars, because we have this, especially Westerners, we have this superstar type mentality. Okay? We have this, and if he's not a Michael Jordan, if he's not somebody who's making headlines, we don't think he's a senior scholar. And this is very wrong. And it doesn't allow you to take the benefit from these type of people. I'm talking about a senior scholar is someone who has spent at least 25 years studying. Okay? They've done their usul. They can explain to you everything. That's what you need. And an Ustadh Mutqin might be a senior scholar, but he has the time. Mutqin means meticulous teacher, who's going through, and then he's giving you your ABCs, your one, two, threes. He's making sure you dot your I's, you cross your T's, you make sure your G's go forward and your Q's go backwards. That's the type of teacher who's making sure that you don't say he's correcting your adab. And not that's a Ustadh Mutqin. That's how you learn. And in the ithri dhalik, as while you're doing that, You on your free time, you read what he allows you to read. Okay? You read what he tells you to read or she tells you to read. And you suck it up. That's what you do. Don't be a Talmah Hakim. Talmah Hakim thought he could just gather books. He started the books that his teacher had. He went and bought them. Then he thought, if I read this, I'm just like the teacher. No. Don't be a Talmah Hakim. All right? You got to sit down with your teacher and ask, Chef, can I read these books? Can I read those books? Can I read these books? That's how you go about it. And when that teacher says yes, then you go through it. I just was looking on my desk right now, just crossed my mind. This is a book that I'm reading this month. Okay? This is the tafsir of the phrases and the words of the Quran. Okay? Does that make sense? So every word and how it's used. So we have akhara here, just as the word akhara, and it's and how it's used, the different ways it's used in the Quran is put here and it's broken down and explained. But this isn't for a beginner. This is not for a beginner. Okay? It's not for a beginner. And I got this book when I first got to Mauritania. I have a picture with me and my daughter with this book when I first started tafsir in Mauritania. Okay? But at that time, my understanding of Arabic wasn't strong enough. And I realized it, so I went back to the book to reread it. Okay? So when your science is tafsir, you have to have a teacher. The one who does not have a teacher is a fool. Even me. Any Talibul Ilm, any scholar, he has a teacher. If he doesn't, then he is the stupidest person he knows. And it's not my statement. This is the statement of the Salaf, what they said. Whoever doesn't have a sheikh, doesn't have a teacher that he's studying from, then he will ahmaqu man ya'lam. He's the stupidest person he knows. We never stop having teachers. We never have stop having someone we turn to, some ones that we turn to for hidayah, for mentoring, for advices. You have multiple teachers. And if you don't have someone who's telling you that you ain't the good guy, then you don't really have a good teacher. Someone has to ground you and balance you at all times, alhamdulillah. Real teachers, trainers, yes, not just lecturers, alhamdulillah, whoever said that, Saraya, okay? Not just lecturers, because the problem with lecturers, the lecturers that you see on TV or online, they don't know you. They're not talking directly to you, okay? This is another problem that people don't get. A lot of the drama that they give, da da da, and the lights, and we call it the dog and pony show. It's really nice, but a lot of you guys don't get it. And I'm gonna say this, and I hope you understand what I'm saying. If you're a Westerner, they are not talking to you. They have no authority to talk to you. Okay? They can't give you anything but general fiqh. Because a ruling can only come from someone who can tusawwirul amr. He has to be able to picture your circumstances. And someone who ain't from boogie down, ain't been from Brooklyn or the Bronx, or he can't tell me how to live as a Brooklynite. Do you understand that? Someone who hasn't lived in and seen, even if they heard. I live in Mecca, but I can't tell someone from Mecca how it is for him to live there. It's a totally different situation. Even if I lived there for 100 years, my circumstances is going to be different. So you guys have to get it out your mind that when someone is talking, they only can give you general Islamic advices. You have to turn to the people who know you, who understand you, who understands the difference from New York and Alabama, Atlanta, and the significance of being from Atlanta and from Philly, from being from LA, okay? And understanding San Francisco. They don't know those things. They can't tell you the difference. They don't know the city. They don't know our life. And so what they can do, Allahumma barik fihim, is give you general advices. But sadly, a lot of you guys think that that's, top line. No, you need teachers that know you, that can hold your hand and give you specific advice about your situations. And inshallah ta'ala, we're revitalizing that. Okay. Sadly, some of the shuyukh, I have this one sheikh, Saiful Islam, I've been trying for years to get this guy to come and talk to the people, but he refuses. And that's because you have some shuyukh who don't have time for some of the stuff that we're going, or don't want to deal with the headache that it comes to dealing with you guys. These are senior scholars. And you miss the barakah. Why? Because they see how you act. They see how the bad adab of the people. The people miss the point and say to the sheikh, like he don't know what he's talking about. Instead of taking the barakah, taking the lesson. So you guys have a lot of adab issues that can get cured. But you have to be ready to get the cure. Alhamdulillah, may Allah make it easy. It inspires me to hear lecturers. Yes, it is. We say the ayyamul talab al ilm al arba. So this person, she says, it may inspire to be here lecturers, but they're not counseled and held in specific situations. Listen to what they say. The ulama say, we learn this. Ayyamul talab al ilm al arba. The days of the talab al ilm are four. Yoman, a day that I meet a scholar, senior scholar, that's what they're talking about, sheikh. And on that day, I get the legacy. See, that's the inspiration. I get the legacy of Islam, the spirit of I want to do more. I fall on my face and cry because he touches my soul. That's day. That's one day. We said this before. Yawman alqa ustadh mutqin, day that I meet a meticulous student, meaning a meticulous teacher. That's the day I get my lesson. Okay? That's the day I get my lesson. You see that? He didn't say that about the alim. Alama, I should say. He said, I get the legacy. When we were with Sheikh Muhammad Salim, Ul Dadul, the Shinqiti, man, the stuff that we remember from him. Yeah, we studied Nahwu, and we studied fiqh, but the things that we walked away with was the spirit of Islam. That's what he filled us with, the adab, of Islam, with the adab of him. Okay? And you find that with all his students. But our teachers, those are the ones that hit us in the head. Those are the ones that straighten us out. This is the type of things that we got from them. Okay? They gave us the lessons. They made us go over this. They made us recite it again. In alhamdulillah. And these types of things. They went over. They argued with us. They debated us. Is this the strongest opinion or is this the opinion you like? They questioned us. Questioned our sincerity. They were in our face. They were on us like white on rice. That's how our Ustad Mutkin was. And they didn't give us a break. And sometimes they didn't even act like they liked us. And every time they finish, told you ain't done nothing yet. You just you tawaylib. You still got a lot to learn. Okay, why do you have those books? Have you read them all? Which ones are you reading? What have you read in the last month? Stop lying. Stop perpetrating the fraud. That's Ustadh Mutqin. And then there's a day, the third day, where you meet another student like you, a contemporary. Just like you, striving and looking to try to get benefit. And that's the day we study and we get benefit. That's the day we study amongst each other and we give and take and we pass on and we benefit. But you can only do that if they're studying. Where'd you get that from? Oh, let me see that. Oh, write that down. Share. Oh, you found that book. Can I get it? Can I get a copy? Oh, if he's a good friend, he got two for you. He got one for you and stuff like that. Hey, that's the day. And you enjoy those people like they're your blood brothers and sisters. You might not see them for a few years, and then you see them again. That's your family. And then the day you meet a knucklehead, a thaqil, a heavy person, an arrogant person, some super Salafi, some super Sufi, some super duper extremist. He's on it like this, and no, we can't hear nothing. He's a bigot, no matter what side he takes. That's the day you take off. That's your day when you take a relaxation. That's the day you don't say nothing and you just chill. You got nothing to prove. And you got nothing to say because no matter what you say, you're not proving a point. You're not sharing, right? You're not going back and forth and learning. This is somebody who's an extremist. He's taken his side to be the only side. He's pigeonholed Islam and said, this is the way it is. And if you don't fit in, you're off it. No matter what they say, whether they say they're extremely on the sunnah, or whether they say they're loosely, or if they say they're following this madhab or that madhab, if they pigeonholed Islam and they're a bigot, then. And that's when you don't argue. You don't bother with them. You let the ustad, the shiuch, deal with them in the halakat, if they ever come. Because usually the sign of a bigot is he only takes from someone like him. Okay? This is the problem. And so, again, you have to understand that in order to be a talibul ilm, a real talibul ilm, not even a talibul ilm, because everyone, talibul ilm is faridatun ala kulli Muslim wa Muslima. Seeking knowledge, being a talibul ilm is an obligation on every male and female Muslim to some extent. Allah said, Iqra, that is the key, Iqra. So you have to read, and you have to read from right and left, up and down and around. The more you read, the more you will understand, the more you will be lenient. Okay? The more you will understand, the more you will be lenient, the more you will realize that you don't know so much and that there are many ways of doing something. Okay? So, inshallah ta'ala, you want to know how to be a talibul ilm? Read. Follow the first order that Allah gave us. Read. The first word revealed in the Quran. Read. What should I read? Start with the Quran. Start with the Quran. How many people claim to be, I'm following Quran and Sunnah? Put it on their shoulder, knock it off. I'm following Quran and Sunnah. Can't recite 10 hadith. Can't recite 10 pages of Quran. Don't understand 10 words from the Quran. You understand what I mean? You ask them, well, what number is Surah Yasin? And what's that surah about? What's the objective of Surah Al-Baqarah? I'm saying, you know what I mean? I don't know what you mean. You follow Quran and Sunnah, you can't tell me nothing about the Quran. Not that you want to prove it to me, but we're just, as a teacher, I'm trying to tell you your focus is wrong. Because it's not just reading the words, it's embodying the meaning. And if you're just reading the words, yes, you're getting benefit. And even if you don't understand the words, you're still getting benefit because the shayateen and the jinn and the angels and the creation, even the stand behind me, they hear it and they benefit from it and they bear witness for you. But you're still missing something. You're still missing something. So, what is intended with my read is understanding and then apply. That's when you're doing it. And if you're doing that, you got no time for nonsense. Your life will be so much better. So much better. There's so much to read. So many interesting things. You don't gotta scroll. You just gotta roll, pass pages. Pass pages like you scrolling, and you'll get so much more benefit. May Allah give us life. I didn't intend to have this type of conversation. I don't mean it against anyone in this class. Okay? Not at all. May Allah bless us. Ramadan is a beautiful month. And may Allah give us the inspiration that we're supposed to get from Ramadan, the health benefits that we're supposed to get from Islam, from Ramadan, the mental benefits, the spiritual benefits, the Quranic benefits, and the akhlaq benefits, and all the other benefits that I can't mention at this time. I think some Muslims may have trouble to trust certain lecturers. That's why they have classes that here are pretty good to engage and try to come along, but trust can be deeper during real teaching. Who cares and trains? Okay. You know, Saraya, astaghfirullah, I now I can't go. this thing that has been built into the people of trusting people, trusting the lecturers. It's nonsense. If I wasn't fasting, I'd call it a different word. It's pure nonsense. Okay. Number one, the Muslim, the believer is to be believed. That's number one. All these ignorant people talking about, I don't trust you. Who are you? But you, who are you? Not you, Miss Saraya Nefsiki, right? Oh, we trust, we just trust Allah alone. That's nonsense. If you trust Allah alone, then you would trust his messenger. And if you trust his messenger, then you would trust the Sahaba. And if you trust the Sahaba, you trust the Tabi'in and the Atba'at Tabi'in. Ad-Dinul Isnad. Ad-Dinul Isnad. So a person's, as Sheikh Mohsin Al-Abbad, Hafidhullah, he said, look, what is the person's, message? What they've been doing? You can see what the person is pushing. If he's pushing himself, then you could see that. But if he's pushing deen, you could see that too. Everything, if you are reading Quran, if you are reading Hadith, you know everything that he's saying. The only reason people are scared, Saraya, is because they're ignorant and they don't know what they're listening to. Anybody who's just reading the Quran and reading Hadith, anytime someone opens their mouth, you know exactly where he's coming from. And the only reason you don't, because you ain't reading, you ain't studying, and you're ignorant. And you don't want to acknowledge your own ignorance, so you want to throw it like the other person might be leading you astray. How can they lead you astray if you got knowledge? How can that? It's not only ignorant, it's ignorant and bad manners. Ignorant and bad manners. I have sat through khutbas with people with shaved faces and suits on. I thought they was halfway faggots, okay? And benefited from them. Why? Because I was looking for the benefit. I was, even if they said the hadith wrong, I heard what they were meant, what they were intending with that. Okay? I knew where they, when even if they said a wrong thing, oh, I see where they come from in Islam. Why? Because I'm looking for the benefit. I'm pulling from the books where I could see where this person is bringing benefit. So they're saying all this stuff. They're saying all this stuff. They're liars. Shaitan is in their heads. Okay? And Shaitan is the only one that wants the division of the Muslims. He's the only one that's benefiting from the Muslims being divided. And saying it, and it's from the humiliation of the ulama that has got the ummah not able to do anything right now. Okay? Not just in Syria, not just in Philistine, not just in Mali and in Burkina Faso and Niger and all the different places where we can't do anything. And a million-man army is considered humongous and bad to the bone. And more than a million people pray in the Prophet's Masjid, and more than a million men pray in the Kaaba every day. So it ain't like we ain't got enough men, able-bodied men, to be an army, but we ain't got enough heart. We don't got enough ilm. Okay? And because we've allowed the shayateen to divide us and to humiliate the scholars, okay? That's why we're in the situation that we're in right now. Because we still have this, this divisive mentality, and we keep allowing it. In all respect, Sheikh, how do converts properly distinguish between whom and to learn from when there are so many out there who might not be most suitable? You have a negative attitude with that type of mentality. Go into it with a utopian mentality. Okay? Go into it with a mentality of benefit. In such a tender state, we can turn to Allah to guide, but not everyone has access to the good or right teachers. That's not true. That's not true. I totally disagree with you. You know why? You have a superpower. Okay? How do you know what's right and wrong? How do you know what's proper and it's not proper if you're a new Muslim and you just converted to Islam? How are you going to make the decision? You don't know what's right and wrong, just like you said. So then what you're supposed to do is follow the sunnah. If you say you know the sunnah, then the sunnah is what? The sunnah is to take from the people in your neighborhood. I'm not saying that you make the question, I'm pointing it back to you, but I'm not putting it on you like you did it. I'm talking to you though, to answer the question. Okay? You come to Islam, you don't know nothing. What do you do? When you go to the books, because that's all you have, You notice that first the people took from the people in their area, then they traveled to other areas. So what did I do when I came to Islam? I went to Siraj Wahaj. I went to Suleiman El Hadi. I went to, what do you call it? Bilal Phillips. Okay? I went to my ulama. I went to Sheikh Farid Abdullah. I went to the ulama that I could find around me, and I benefited from them. Okay? I benefited from H-Rap Brown. I went to him. I went to all of those guys who were in my area. And then when I was finished, then I went to Mauritania. Then I went to those other places. Now, yes, it was a time. They were in the neighborhood. All those guys were coming in and going in our neighborhood. Oh, I forgot. Abdullah Hakim Quick. He was the first one I went to. I went to Abdullah Hakim Quick before everybody else. And then I went to Suleiman al-Hadi. And then I went to Siraj Wahaj. And then like that. And so you take with from those people who you have. And of course, it's a journey. You're going to keep learning. But what's your superpower? Make dua. Suratul Hamd. Suratul Fatiha is your dua. Ihdina Siratul Mustaqim. Ameen. Keep making dua. Rabbi Zidni Ilma. And Allah will add yastajibu dua. I not speak about myself. But now it's in the past. In our era, we didn't even have that as. But you have internet. Nowadays, you don't have to worry about it. You got internet, okay? You got internet, so you can get on. Like right now, we're talking right now. Now, even if you have the extremist stuff, even if it's just the extremist stuff, it's a door. It's a door. I'm not saying take from everybody that you can when you first get there. Take what you can. And if you keep your sincere niyyah, you'll know where to stop. You know what? Just because you take from an extremist doesn't mean you have to become one. You may learn some stuff that's wrong, but if you keep learning, we say this, when we started to be Tulab al-Ilm, we didn't have the right niyyah. We didn't even know what the right niyyah was. But knowledge refused to come to us until we had the right niyyah. So the first thing we got to learn was our niyyah. It was great to have the shuyukh that were teaching us and breaking our hearts so that we became and changed our niyyah. Okay? Hey, alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. So, hey, alhamdulillah, let's end here. I'm sorry. Astaghfirullahi ladheem. I went overboard. Astaghfirullahi ladheem. And I don't mean to just speak and run, but barakallahu feekum. I appreciate Miss Saraya for what she said. Alhamdulillah, I don't want to say that she's wrong, and at the same time, I'm saying that look, don't give up. Don't worry about who's on it or off it. Use your heart. Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said this, okay? Allah's Messenger said, "Istafti qalbak." Search your heart. Look for a fatwa from your heart. Okay? That's the proof here. Istafti qalbak. And whatever makes the heart feel at ease, then do that. And whatever makes the chest go round and round, haraj, then leave it, even if everybody else gives you their fatwa. Okay? That's what we talk. Yeah, martial law, that's right. We never get up. We always weebles wobble, but we don't fall down. We fall down, we get up. We fall down, we get up. Alhamdulillah. Progress is made through making mistakes. Practice is nothing but failing. You practice, you fail. You keep practicing, you keep failing until you stop failing. So we're gonna make mistakes on the route. Alhamdulillah. Expect mistakes on we said in this poem I wrote on first grade fiqh. I gave my word with heart and head to praise Allah till I drop dead. Send blessings on the Prophet and respect the scholars, ijtihad. As Muslimin, we'll study and pray to fight shaitan in every way. Expect mistakes along the way. Repent to fight another day. So, Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. I hope that helps. Alhamdulillah. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.